This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Coming up next is Generate, a show about Christchurch's regeneration and to get inspired about our city's future, only on Plains FM.
Welcome to Regenerate Christchurch's monthly radio show. I'm Simon Macker and I'm part of Regenerate Christchurch's partnerships and engagement team. I'll be your host this evening. Thanks for tuning in. Well, this evening we're discussing some of the major rebuild and regeneration projects that are happening both in the city and in South Shore and South New Brighton. We've got Regenerate Christchurch's community engagement manager, Katie McCray, in the studio. And she's going to talk to us about the Coastal Futures program. And then later on, we'll be chatting with Michael Parkin, the communications manager at Otakaro Limited, to get a bit of an update on some of the major anchor projects in the central city. First, though, we've got Katie here to tell us about the work that Regenerate Christchurch, Ngāi Tahu, Environment Canterbury and Christchurch City Council are doing in South Shore and South New Brighton as part of the Coastal Futures project. Thanks for joining us again, Katie.
Hey, thanks very much, Simon.
So first up, what is the Coastal Futures Project?
So the Coastal Futures Project is the regeneration strategy for South Shore, South New Brighton, and it's about finding out short, medium and long-term options for that area to deal with climate change, including sea level rise, and some of the earthquake issues, the legacy earthquake issues that they've got there.
Awesome. I mean, South Shore's are really great in South New Brighton as well. They're a really great part of Christchurch as well. There's a lot of natural assets and stuff that are there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, people love living there for a whole range of reasons because, I mean, it's a beautiful part of the world to live. There's a lot of recreation. There's really strong communities out there, well-supported communities. So there's a lot of stuff going for that part of the world.
Hmm. Our team was set up earlier this year, and we had two of them, Sylvia Smythe and Rachel Putner, in the show earlier this year to have a bit of a chat about it. What did the HAUT team achieve, and what's the next step for that team?
So just a bit of background there. The HAUT team were made up of 8 community members, so they were recruited from the community, plus Rachel, who was the community coordinator, and she was employed by Renew Brighton, which is a community group out in the area. And together with 3 people from the agency, so one from Christchurch City Council, one from Regenerate Christchurch, and one from Environment Canterbury, we came up with an engagement plan. So effectively, we were tasked with coming up with the how. How are we going to have this conversation with the community about how this area adapts to climate change? So over a period of about 10 quite intensive weeks, we met and came up with this plan, which we're now rolling out as part of the regeneration strategy.
That's cool. That's cool that you really included the community in that process as well.
Well, best practice says, if you're going to have a really good, meaningful conversation about climate change, then you're going to have it with the community. You're not going to be doing two. You're going to be working with, and that's what we hope to achieve here. So it was really important from the very start to get the community involved in the how, not the what, but the how we're going to have that conversation, because everything else leads from there.
That's cool. So what can you tell us a bit about the community hub that we've got based out there now?
So we've set up a Coastal Futures Community Hub, and it's in 82 Estuary Road, so that's the old doctor's surgery. One of the things that the guys put into the engagement plan was the importance of having a community base for that community. They lost a lot of community space after the earthquake, so a lot of the retail went down as well. And so it's really important, if you're going to have this conversation with the communities, that you actually base yourself out there. So we've got the hub is open Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. We're from 9 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock and then open again from 2 till 6. And then on Saturdays, we're open from 12 till 4. And it's an opportunity for people to pop in, find out some information about the project at various stages in the engagement. It'll be used for different things. So you can, at the moment, we're really keen to understand what people value, what they care about their community. So there's a big wall in the hub where you can go and leave your comments on what you love about your community. There's maps, there's information, and there's people who can answer questions. So it's just a space for the community to get their questions answered. And if we can't answer the question, then we take it away and see if we can respond to it and bring it back to the community.
Cool. And how many people are you sort of getting through the doors?
It's steady. You know, the numbers are coming through steady. We started with a community day, so a couple of weeks back when we opened up the doors, and we've had just a steady flow of people come through after that.
Awesome. That's really cool. So you sort of touched on it before. You mentioned a regeneration strategy, which is what the Coastal Futures Project is. What is a regeneration strategy?
So in this instance, the regeneration strategy is probably more like an adaptation strategy. So as I said, it's about developing those short, medium and long-term options for South Shore and South New Brighton to adapt to climate change. And we're basing our approach on the Ministry for the Environment's guidelines for adaptive planning. So this is one of those things where what makes the approach a wee bit different is that it deals with it's the way it deals with the uncertainty, because we don't, you know, 100% know what's going to happen. But we can plan for it, even though we mightn't know the when, we can kind of plan for the what. And it also puts our community at the centre of the planning process, which is obviously really, really important. So it's all about, if new information becomes available, we can kind of adapt to that, we can add it into the conversation, and it gives decision makers a way of being able to progress things without, even with this uncertainty, which is really, really important, obviously. So it's different. The regeneration strategy is different from a regeneration plan, which we've got going on at the moment for the Otakaro Avon River Corridor, because the regeneration strategy doesn't have any statutory power under the Greater Christchurch Regeneration Act. It's basically Regenerate Christchurch's advice to Christchurch City Council, to Ngāi to the environment, Canterbury, Environment Canterbury, the Crown and the community. But it could lead to a regeneration plan, which does have powers under the Act. And the adaptive options and actions developed through the regeneration strategy could also inform the development of future changes in things like Christchurch District Plan and sort of like managing the coastal hazards part of that.
Cool. That's awesome. So what are the next steps from here?
Right, so at the moment, as I said, the engagement's kind of like into sort of five different phases, and at the moment we're in the phase of introducing the conversation and finding out what people value about living in the area. The next step is going to be publishing information that we know about the area, which is something that we did very similar to the Otakaro Avon River Corridor Regeneration Plan. We know that having access to information is a really important part of being able to have a good conversation about options. So we're going to be publishing the information. It's not necessarily new information, it's just collated in one location, making it easy to find and access. And after that, we're going to be getting into the options side of things. So when we're going to be going out holding workshops in the community and discussing, well, what are the options for this area to adapt to climate change? So we're using the adaptive planning process that's recommended by the Ministry for the Environment. And we're using four climate change scenarios, and we're modelling up the change and building up a picture of what impacts could look like. And then what we do is we combine these scenarios with the information that we've got about what people value about their community, local signals, local observations, and that's how we can build up a picture of when we're going to need to take pre-agreed actions. And there's good reason in doing this now, ahead of time, because it means that we're not responding in a piecemeal way. We've got a plan in front of us, which means that we know what the future can hold.
Really cool. That's good. Yeah, to have everything sort of happen now, it's easy to do that now rather than, 30 years down the track when it's really needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's cool. Well, thanks so much for coming in, Katie, and for giving us that insight into what could be a really important piece of work. For more information on Coastal Futures, you can go to www.coastalfutures.nz. That's coastalfutures.nz. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Generate, Regenerate Christchurch's monthly radio show. Now we have Michael Parkin from Otakaro Limited joining us to fill us in on all the major work projects that are progressing in the central city. Many of the anchor projects are well underway at the moment, and construction for the Metro Sports facility is expected to start really soon as well. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thanks, pleased to be here.
Great. So it seems like there's lots happening for Otakaro at the moment. What's the latest in all the different anchor projects?
Yeah, well, the Metro Sports is probably a good one to start with because towards the end of August, we're going to see the stone column work get underway there. And what that is, for those who don't know, is basically ramming a whole lot of little stones, little pebbles into the ground to stabilise that earth. In the Metro Sports site, there's going to be 7,500 of those, which sounds wow. like a staggering sort of number. But you've got to remember this facility with, 50-metre pool and 9 courts is about 30,000 square metres in size. So we need a decent chunk of land to get that built on. Of course, that question that leads on from that is, well, why, build this thing on that site if the land isn't that great? Well, it's location, 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 because you're right there. You're beside Hagley Park, which, of course, everybody's running around or playing netball on. Anyway, and you're there up in that sinus of Morehouse Ave corner, which makes it a really easy place for you to get your car to, and it opens up those streets around the Metro Sports facility for parking after 5 o'clock as well. Whereas if you had a facility like this right in the centre of town, of course, when you've got this many people coming in for competitions or coming in to do their swimming before or after work, it's going to create that kind of bottleneck around traffic. So that's why it is such a great site to have this facility on. From that work will carry on through until the start of next year, when we're aiming to have our main works contractor on board. It'll actually start building up and out of the ground, which is what we all want to see.
Great. So what's the purpose of these stone columns?
It's to stabilise the earth, because as we know, we're all sitting on a lot of water here in Christchurch, it can make the land a bit soft and a bit prone to that liquefaction. And so what this does is reduce the chances of that becoming an issue up and under the Metro Sports facility. It also gives us something to anchor the swimming pools to, because remember, obviously, they go down into the ground, and so we don't want them bubbling up whenever there's a bit of pressure from water underneath, so it gives them a really strong fixing point. So really important part of the design, really huge package of work. Like, we've really probably never seen stone columns on this scale carried out in Christchurch. So fair bit of activity around there for a fair few months yet.
For sure. It's a really big site as well. Like, it takes up a whole block, doesn't it?
Yeah, but probably the best part of two blocks. And that's because, obviously, for a facility that's going to meet the needs of basketballers and swimmers and netballers and gymnasts and you name it, this has got something for those people. You need a bit of car parking. So there'll be around 550 car parks in the Metro Sports facility site. So the balance of the site is really taken up by those. And then you've got spaces for, obviously, buses bringing in your elite teams or school teams and stuff like that. They've got to have space to turn around, get in and out, that sort of thing. So, yeah, you need a bit of space for a thing that's going to be this popular.
For sure. So what's going to be in the Metro Sports facility? Obviously, there's going to be the swimming pools, and you said some courts as well. What else is going to be
in there? It's a really multifunctional sort of space. So those 9 courts can be community courts. So that's like you see on Saturday morning at Hagley Park, those sort of people. Or in what we call the show court, there is retractable seating, which you bring in, so you get closer to that one central court, and that's for your Canterbury Rams or your Tactics or whatever sort of games you want to get in there that are a bit higher profile. You've got a bit of an audience for them. Of course, the big thing for Metro Sports facility is about a 1,500 square metre leisure water area, 5 hydro slides with that. So that's kind of what you see at QE2 or Pioneer, but maybe a bit on steroids for the purposes of this conversation. Huge amount of space for the kids to come in and play. You've got hydrotherapy pools as well. You've got another warm water pool, which can be used for rehabilitation, spas, saunas. So I think all in up about 10 pools in total.
Wow.
All of those accessible pools, so either with a ramp or with a hoist to get people in and out. So the Metro Sports facility is all about getting more people more active more often, making it available to anybody, regardless of age or ability, to come in and stretch their legs and have a run around.
Awesome. That sounds great. I see Manchester Street is finally back open both ways again for the first time in, I don't know, a couple of years at least.
Indeed.
Why has it been such a big project?
Yeah, we all breathe a bit of a sigh of relief with that one, don't we? Look, 97,000 man hours have gone into the work on Manchester Street, which is just staggering when you think about it. And you look at it and you think, look, it's not the biggest stretch of road. Why has it taken this long? But it's the same with all roadworks. It's what's gone on underneath that's really taken the time. Remember, this is a major central city road. There is, 100 years worth of infrastructure sitting under that road. What happens is you dig it up because you're going to lay a new power line or a new phone cable or something like that. And that old cable, that old ditch, that old trench, whatever it is, isn't exactly where it was on those old plans. So, of course, then you've got to look at it and go, well, can I go under it, round it, through it? What do? You can't make a call like that on the spot. You've got to go back. You've got to get that redesigned. That takes up some time. And that feeds into why you see so much of a street like that open at once, but maybe nobody working on it, because when you strike an issue like that, and they know they're going to strike issues like that because simply those old plans aren't up to scratch, then that gives them the ability to go and work in another area. Whereas if there was nothing else to do, they'd obviously have to take all the kit and disappear again, then come back and start all over. So it's really a time-saving mechanism. Although it doesn't look great to people at times, it is the best way to get the thing done. What we see on Manchester Street now is obviously that huge wide footpath on the eastern side there, and the incorporation of a dedicated bus route through there. That's 400,000 pavers have gone into making up that shared footpath, which is a beautiful space, because this whole road's been widened by 9 metres to incorporate all this. And then people will notice the buses starting to function from the beginning of August up and down there. And it's worth stressing to people, Manchester Street is a priority bus route once that action takes place, once those lights start working. It's not going to be the quickest street to drive through the central city on. You're going to want to use those one-way streets when the buses are moving up and down there. But of course, once the buses are moving more efficiently and using public transport becomes more appealing, more people will do it. That takes a few cars off the road. And so everybody's sort of a winner in that scenario. And that's really got a lot to do with why we're going to have this road hierarchy around Christchurch now, to get people moving around in whichever way they want to do it a lot easier.
That sounds awesome. It's going to be good when it's all finished and everything's sort of like running smoothly as the plan.
Exactly. And it's, it is frustrating for people and for businesses. And as we always say, we do appreciate their patience. And you can look at the likes of Durham Street now. There are thousands of plants that have gone in along Durham Street, along Manchester Street, and they do make the city look great. And you don't find that anywhere else. We had one opportunity to do this and we've done it right and it looks great. And yep, it's been hard, but the end is in sight now for those roadworks.
Cool. And then right next door, you got One Central as well, and there's always seems to be something happening there. And the apartments seem to be tracking along quite well.
Yeah, it's really really kicked into life, that one. So there's 172 homes now under construction across three sites. Now, in all, when One Central development is finished, there'll be 900 homes. But it is a long-term development, so we're talking right out to 2026 there. So to have 172 homes underway right now, that's fantastic. The first of those homes, which are over by the Christchurch Club, will be on sale towards the end of this year. And that's 20 really spectacular townhouses there, overlooking the park, obviously, some with views of Latimer Square as well. We've also got another 44 apartments and 50 townhouses near the old Bedford Road by what was the IRD building there. Mm-hmm. They're on sale now. So Fletcher's have a beautiful little side office or sales office down there near the Margaret Mahe Playground on the Gloucester Street, Manchester Street corner. And the third site that people will see activity on is by Les Mills there, and there are 58 one, two and three bedroom townhouses that are going to be constructed in there as well. So there's a huge amount of variety that's going to come on stream here, and really have a look at that sales office. They've got a bit of a mock-up of one of the apartments in there, so it is a really cool thing to go and have a look at. And it'd be great to get people living back in that part of the city again, obviously making the most of Rauora Park, which has been open since Christmas. So huge push to get people on there. Gap filler in the meantime are making the most of those vacant lots that are in the rest of the development there. We've got the likes of the mini golf course or the grass games area that's out there. So a lot of really interesting things for people to go and have a look at. And it's always changing, so it's worth taking a walk up Manchester Street and just getting a look for yourself.
So what's the next big milestone that Otakaro will pass?
Yeah, well, look, this year we're basically looking to get off the roads and out of everybody's way. So that's Manchester Street and Durham Street, as we talked about, and around the hospital. But the big one is the Avon River Precinct, and that's Oxford Terrace. And so that's the huge sort of paving job, which you've seen outside the terrace bars at the moment. That spreads right the way up to the hospital, all the way to the Margaret Mahe Family Playground along Oxford Terrace there. So it's got a beautiful walk along the river there. You can see the bits where you can already get down and feed the eels, but really turning Christchurch around so it's facing the river, making the most of having a river in a central city, because that's such a rarity. So having all that work done and completed through the next 3 months, probably October, November, everybody will be able to walk that 2.5 k's from the playground to the hospital, and it's going to be a really beautiful thing once summer kicks in.
That's great. How long has it taken to do that?
That one's probably been on the way full steam since Otakaro was established around 2016. The little bit around the terraces was completed just as Sierra finished up. So again, another big project, because it's difficult with what's under the ground. But you know when you go and have a bar at the terrace, drink at the terrace tavern there, that it's a pretty beautiful spot to be. So to see that stretch out to like the Pegasus Arms there up by the hospital, you know, they're going to have those beautiful vistas over towards the punting and the Avon there, or stroll down to the playground with the kids and grab an ice cream. Really safe way to get around the city and a really beautiful part of it.
Awesome. There's been some big movement internally at Otakaro as well, with John Bridgman coming on board as the new CE.
Yeah.
What sort of background does he have?
Yes.
When does he start?
So it's a tongue twister, this one. So John will join us at the start of August, and he is currently the Industry Director of Civil Infrastructure with AECOM Australia. So that's a big project management company. And he comes with pretty good credentials, because he's been overseeing the $12 billion Melbourne Metropolitan project. So he knows how to run these big projects. He knows how to get them in on time, and he knows how to get them done safely. So we're really excited to have him joining the team with his wealth of experience. We're very sad to see Albert go, obviously. He's brought us such a long way in the in the first 2 years the company's been up and running. But, it's exciting times ahead with some projects nearing completion and things like Metro getting right up to speed.
That's great. Brilliant. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Michael, and thanks for everyone for listening as well. For more information on the work Regenerate Christchurch is doing, you can visit engage.regeneratechristchurch.nz. That's engage.regeneratechristchurch.nz. Or you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for Regenerate Christchurch. We're back again on Tuesday the 28th of August at 5 p.m. and we hope you'll tune in then.